reckoning our accounts. What stories do they tell? Have you ever had to give an account to someone of your actions? Have you ever noticed it's normally when you've been called in and then they ask you that question, why? So then it's your moment when you either have to tell the truth, you have to lie, or you cover up, or you begin to justify or play the play game, the blame game. Well, I want us to think about those moments when we get called in and have to explain ourselves to someone, because in many ways, the rich young ruler, even though he approaches Jesus, he's kind of being called in because he's asking Jesus a question, because he knows that something in his life is missing. So what if we were to think about this moment, and instead of seeing that person as Jesus, or seeing that person as your boss, or seeing that person as someone in authority in who you have to be accountable to, what if it was a child to whom you had to be accountable to for your actions? Have any of us ever made a promise to a child that we could not keep? You tried your best. You made that promise in all earnestness, but you could not keep it. Can you remember that moment and how you had to face the child? How you had to be accountable? How you had to reckon your accounts with them? What stories will that tell to the child? Can you hear their voice? But you said, I recently had a but you said with my son, Wes. Now, he is 30, so he's not a child anymore. But it gave me a little bit about the story that my truth tells. He was having trouble at work. And people were being unjust in supervision at work. And things were going wrong, and those who in power who should have been making decisions for those not in power that were safe and fair and just were not being made. And this low man on the totem pole wanted to get on his horse and ride and shout for the injustice, and I said to him, but wait, you're not in a position where you can do this. And that's when I got the, but you said always to stand up for what was right. But you said. So when we begin to look at the accounts that we have to tell a child, accounts of our lives to a child, that child is going to grow. And at some point, what we teach the children, what we say to the children, how we live our lives, end up making a statement to them that we might not want it to make, or we might be very proud of it to make. And that's what's going on with this rich ruler at this point. He's got some trouble because he believes he is growing up just as he's supposed to grow up. He's been raised in a home, we believe, that kept him fairly well comfortable. There was nothing that he had in need. He also was growing up in a home that kept the commandments of his day. We hear that when he speaks to Jesus. But I do all that, Jesus. I keep all these commandments. And then when he does that, Jesus says to him, you lack one thing. You lack one thing. Can you imagine how he thought about that? How can I lack anything? Everything I need, I have. Everything that I'm commanded to do, I do. How can I lack one thing? And then Jesus tells him, go. Sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Come, follow me. So what is the one thing this man lacks? Now some might say, well, it's because he has so much wealth that he can't get beyond it. But that's not what he lacks. Let's think about what is happening here. He comes to Jesus in need. He knows something in his life is missing. He has everything he needs, and he calls Jesus good teacher. And Jesus immediately turns his focus from himself to who? Don't call me good. No one is good but God alone. Jesus moves the young man's focus from the teacher to God. So when the man is there, the young man is there with all that he has, doing everything that's right. He's doing everything that's right. And Jesus says, give it all up. Give it all up and come follow me. What Jesus was speaking to him about was his attachment to it. That if he had to make a reckoning of the account of his life, could he account to how he had been in relationship to God and relationship to the world? Or could he only account for the things, you know, the boxes that he had checked off? Yes, I observed the Sabbath. Yes, I gave money in the plate. Yes, and check the things off that made it right for him. Jesus is asking him not to think about himself first, but God and others. Serve God, serve those in need. Take everything. Do you think he truly meant everything? Take everything and give it to the poor? Or did he mean take every attachment you have to the stuff of your life and let go of it? So that what the poor needs, the poor gets. What you need to live your life, you get. But your relationship is first to God, then to others, and then you will have what you need in your life. If you follow me, if you follow me down the road to serve. The young man leaves, and we hear that he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. We don't know what happens, do we? He just leaves. We don't know if at some point he sat down with all those possessions and said, you know, Jesus had it right. This stuff owns me. I need to give this up. This relationship to this stuff and follow the one who calls me to serve. That I don't need to be thinking of self. I need to be thinking of others. And look at how this stuff can help others. In our Beginnings Bible study, just this morning, it was a lesson on serving, and we got to watch the video, and we got to hear about a little boy who was really attached to stuff, and he had a list so high that the boy wanted an SUV. And one of the boys wanted a basketball. And when the boy who wanted the SUV and had the long Christmas list heard that, he thought, oh, in my garage I have a thing full of basketballs. And he reached in and he took a basketball. He stopped being attached to the stuff and gave it and began a relationship of serving. He began to be accountable to the one who calls us into account. So we might not quite understand the rich ruler because we think we've got that down pat. If we were to look at a reckoning of our accounts, we serve, we do those things. So we might sound a little bit more like Peter. Peter who says, well, Jesus, I've done all that. I've given up everything. What about me? Do you hear that in Peter? Did you hear that? What about me? I left everything and followed you. And Jesus tells him, when we do that, when we give everything up, we will not receive 100-fold now in this time, but in the age of eternal life, in the age to come. But he does remind us one of the things that we might do is we might receive persecutions for what we do. That we might end up having to walk down some difficult paths that we don't like. Jesus desires that when we choose to follow Him, we follow Him regardless of the cost. Hebrews this morning reminds us that we have an accountability partner in this, doesn't it? That we have an accountability partner called God. And that maybe God can see how we are either the young ruler or Peter, the one who gave up everything, or the one who is holding on tight to some things and can't give them up to follow. It's important to have accountability partners. It's important to have people who say to us, you know, maybe you're not quite living the right way. I had a very special accountability partner when I was in the third grade. When I was in the third grade, I was with some classmates. We were in one of those mixed classes, second and third grades. It was a one-room kind of thing. And I looked at my fellow students, and they were really struggling, and they didn't know the answers, and I had already finished the test, and I already knew all the answers. And I saw their struggle, so what I thought was being helpful was I gave them the answers. I thought that was a nice thing to do, the generous thing, that, you know, they needed that help, so I gave them the help. Well, my accountability partner was my third grade teacher. She called me in and she sat me down and she said, "Why did you do that?" You know that why? When we have to reckon our accounts, why? And I said, "Because they needed the answer. They didn't know it." And she said, "No, you didn't help them learn by giving them the answers. I wasn't sent to the principal's office. I wasn't made to feel really, really bad for what I had done. But her gentle reminder that it's theirs to learn, theirs to take the test, that my help is in simply helping them before the test that they might learn, she reminded me of the grace of God. Because where I could have walked away from that place scarred, I will always remember that third grade teacher and her grace towards me, who was a culprit in a cheating operation. I was. But in Hebrews, we also hear that same thing. After the author tells us about God, who's looking upon us and knows our motives and knows this and knows that, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of going, God can see everything I'm thinking. We hear that there's the high priest, the one who died for us, who gives us all the grace that we can possibly have, who gracefully says, Lord, I died for them. Forgive them of their sins. So this morning, I want us to think about something. As we think about our lives in faith and disjointed moments of grace, I want us, as we move forward, to think about God, the Almighty, the most powerful, as a child. So that when we have to make a choice, when we have to choose whether to serve someone else or serve ourselves, what would we tell the child, God, about why we did not choose others? About why we did not choose God? Because when we reckon the account, it tells a story. You know, as we listen to political ad after political ad and after poll and after survey, we hear all the stories people try and tell us with numbers. There's a reckoning. But the one who knows, loves us, and seeks to be in a relationship with us, and asks us to be in a relationship with him and with the world. In just a few moments, we are going to have a baptism. And in that baptism, we are going to be asked to be accountable. There is a part where we, as this body of Christ, have to respond. Where we have to say yes, that we will be part of Bethany's life in raising her as a child of God. That yes, we are going to be part of Lizzie's life as she grows in her relationship with Jesus Christ. We are going to have an account to them about who we are as their brothers and sisters in Christ, just as we have to be accountable to one another and God. So when we open our hymnals to the pages that I'll find in a moment, that we do this time of baptism, when I ask you for your time to respond, I may even ask you to stand if you're not already standing up here with them. And I ask you not to say those words if you do not want to be accountable to them for their life of faith as well as for your own. Because our story, how we live our lives in faith, helps form theirs. So church, are we ready? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah.